March the 29th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. We'll open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get started, I want to thank our technician, Eugene Muhammad, for all the work that he do to keep the radio station moving in the right direction. Cow chewing the cud is symbolic of thinkers who reflect over what it previously thought about. Yes, that is chewing the cud because the cow will chew and then after it has eaten, it's still chewing. It is bringing it back up to chew it again and thorough digestion. So that is the way it is with the brain of those who are blessed to be true thinkers. They do not just have something in their mind's eye and take it for granted. There are things in their mind's eye that requires them to look into it. So they think and they think and they think again, and that is exactly what it means. Isn't that going up the mountain and coming back down? Exactly. He might have gone up to the first level. He might have climbed all day and night and did not reach anything but the first level. What he thought he reached, the third level, so he comes back down. He tries to apply it, and he has to go back up again. Wither, one raka, symbolic of conclusion for the logic. Yes, only the night Tawir, as a final wither, the final standing for prayer, one by itself. I don't know if the time even for the international Muslim world. I do not believe they understand that actually the last prayer of the Tawir prayer, the last one is a single rak'ah. You actually conclude saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. For the eid, it is not for wither that you pray in the evening. It is not one of the obligatory prayers. But in Ramadan prayer, the wither, you are supposed to conclude the two rak'ahs, and then you stand and do the single wither one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there is going to be one blast of the trumpet, and they all will stand. So man is evolving to where God wants him, but there is going to come a time when you will not have to depend on man evolving. God is going to make clear and plain that one standing will be enough. One command stand will be enough, and that is the time of the conclusion for the logic. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 7, represents the inspiration that came into the nature. First, it is a spiritual urge that eventually leads us to an encounter with the rational. Jesus said, you will see, yet see me no more, and you will see me again. So the urge that was in Jesus did not, the intellectual expression come back, And it did in Prophet Muhammad, the original pattern on which Allah assigned man's need expression needs to be revealed. Jesus is an expression of something already in the original man, Adam. Then does it stop with Jesus? Every man has that in him. Adam, the original man, John the Baptist, Aaron, they are prophets. They must be in me. They are expressions of something that must be in me, my original nature. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 16 to 17, world not created, sport and play. Now, Brother Imams, you see that I've discussed the Quran, and I've had the Quran in my hand, but I touched it from mythology. I touched it from the Bible. And if you heard me, I touched it from the teachings of Farad, not Farad Muhammad. He hasn't earned Muhammad yet. I'm talking about W.D. Farad or David F. Farad or W.F. Muhammad, way from Muhammad, as far than Jews. So that's what he is, as far than Jews. And the as far than Jews are the Oriental, the Jews who give the world Orientalism. So you know Oriental mythology and all of that? They are the ones who are doing, who digs into that. They are the ones who spread it. That's right. It don't make no sense. They just flood the world with a lot of symbolism. See, they love, they tie, they lie and play. They make this world for sport and play. They, he made it for just end. This is Quran. He made it for just end, not for sport and play. Meaning it's unjust. Jacobite play with symbolic language. It is not justice for the people with exorcism to get knowledge and then start playing with the world by throwing out these symbols, all these myths and mythologies. But they enjoy it. They have a laugh on the world. They can see the meaning behind it while we are enchanted. Go see a fiction movie, and we are just enchanted with it. But that's just fiction, seeing us respond to darkness while they have the light. But what is symbolism except darkness if you don't have the interpretation of the meaning? The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 7 to 8, Prophet, Man, Mortal. Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet, Seven Heavens. This tells the manipulator of man, no sciences that you can get can hold down the freedom of man. You think you killed a man, but you'll see him tomorrow. The germ or the righteousness in man can't be killed. You oppose it and bury it, but eventually there it is again. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16, this creation not for sport and play. Since one penny is 1 cent, since pitching pennies. How many of you males remember pitching pennies? That with a single of what was coming, what is 1 penny called 1 cent, and 5 pennies 5 cents. So if you try to make sense plural, how would you pronounce it? Sense. So there you see what is going on. Do you see what's happening in that which seems to be only play? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in our holy book to this world and its guardians who pride themselves in being in charge of the world, we were not at play when we created the skies and the earth. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16, it was not a play game. It is a serious matter. I know you remember shooting pool. You still do that. Do you remember when we called ourselves cats? I remember hearing someone say something like this. later for those cats, man. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 1 to 2, it is saying that when God has established everything and has set the world in nature so that you can only get off the course so far and for so long, pretty soon you are going to reach your limit and the time is going to run out on you. When that happens, it's going to be a very grievous time for you, and you're going to be shocked when man puts something together that he thinks is powerful. This search and that thinking, they're going to be comfortable ruling for a long time. Some of them think that they are going to be able to rule forever. Then all of a sudden things go wrong for the rulers, and they see the big, they see the thing falling in, and it shocks them. The more it crumbles, the more the so-called ignorant people come into the understanding of just what the leaders have done. This is a time for the rulers. It is a shocking time and grievous time. It causes them to go back into their closets and put their heads in their hands and moan and groan. And we are talking about things that happen in the civilization, things that are close to your heart and your mind, to meet the heavy food and give the masses of the people the milk, the light stuff. So when that time comes, they are going to be in so much trouble that they are going to forget about striving to hold on to the baby mind. They are going to let them go in shock. Drop pregnant load is unformed, ignorance following. And every pregnant one will lay down her burden. Here is one that hasn't yet managed to get a community of ignorant people to suck their blood. They are just in the process of forming a group of ignorant people to serve them, to be their baby. It is still in the formation period. So when that time comes, the shock is going to be so great that it'll make them give up their plan and walk away. Man drunken means leaders thinking shattered. And you will see man as drunken. What does man mean here? In most places where you find it, in scripture, it means the intellect, composition of the person, the mind. It means you will see minds drunken. You will see those minds that you have been looking up to and respecting as strong minds in quarrel, in control of everything, as drunken minds, it says. Yet they will not be drunken. This means that they won't have liquors in them. It will be the effects of shock. God will have sent boulders of knowledge and truth into the house of their thinking, scattered their brain. It says, but the chastisement of Allah will be severe. Babies and religion sit around praying and clapping, waiting for God to abort some miracle or some punishment that's going to physically hurt people. And our baby understanding, we want to see God get a physically whip old boss lady and boss man. The worst chastisement that can be put upon wicked rulers is to break up their minds and to break up the intellectual composition that they have put together to rule ignorant people. Then expose them and let the common people come into the knowledge of their superior gain. You ask for one punishment, but God knows how to punish, not you. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 2, pregnant woman drops her load. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one indifferent to the other's needs. So you know the mother and the father to watch over the development of our personalities, because at some time the influence was strong But when the church agitated and stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over out that role, then the parent got away from that and they stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. And all of a sudden now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. The parent has been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening the parent's life. The Quran tells us that day was plainly written in the Quran that way. It was going to come, the child was going to punch the parent for parental neglect. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm saying, but it means just that. That people were going to turn their minds away from the true reality and were going to give their lives to the fleeting things and the failure to meet most their own obligations was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and blind sensitivity where each person goes after that which satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. Parents have stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. All of a sudden now the child is coming with a bat, knife, attack parents. The parent's been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers, springs, winters. People have turned their minds from true reality and given themselves to life of fleeting things. Some people starting striving for personality fulfillment, and they just soak up any personality expression that comes around them. They're not crazy. That wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious content that fulfilled the personality needs in their lives. People who live outside of life content that structures their life and teach before them certain principles, they are really cut off from the life so they don't have any life of their own. Their life is subject to circumstances. Whatever expression comes in today, you just become a vessel for anybody to come and drop something in the characterized. Black and African have no stable content personality. If we want to describe personality of blacks in the world, it is emotional and characteristic. So this is not to discredit us. Emotionalism will not allow you to come into what is called achieved personality. So we take on accused personality. It's just form, a natural addiction. There was no plan, no effort to govern or direct the formation of that personality. It is just happening under the natural influence. Pop artists can bring it out. A song that will give us new personality, whole black people. The African also is given that kind of susceptibility, more so than other races. We are going to become a personality true to ourselves, get ourselves on the primitive level, black, copies the baboon, dog, copies mannerism and social traits of the animals like all other primitive societies did until they grew out of that. The Caucasian comes amongst him. The Caucasian came amongst him, influenced him, and he copied the Caucasian. Here in this late date, we can do no more than absorb expression, copy, mimic, imitate. You can't act out intelligent, only absorb expressions. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 1 to 11, and 91 and 9. Bukhari, Volume 8, page 453, which is contentment of the soul. So if we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. This doesn't mean that you're going to be rich if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It's not always that the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family, himself, may land him in jail or get him killed. If I get all the money in the world and I'm in hell mentally, then I am, in my soul, I'm not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. The Quran, Surah 23, as a result of this violent clashes, Muslims had many captives. Amongst those captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Al-Islam, though they were raised as pagans, as believers in idol worship. The Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they so desired to marry a Muslim man. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14, mind, thought, fluid. 1 Corinthians 14, 5, 4 and 5, speak in tongues. Play man from means you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he made, how he makes, and how we get out of that original make. And he shows us again how to get back into it. He says he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material, when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says that the angel said, "Oh God, we have no knowledge except what you give us." Iblis from fire, by my faculty, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, "I refuse to bow, God. I am better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire." He was created from something like fire, meaning, I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up with it the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth, fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, clearing the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all the other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me? So this thing that you are going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry it along like a baby. I'll have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, food, and et cetera. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinking mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. Allah's breath is signed in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, woo, blowing. And man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature. Through his prophet prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine sign in the creation, that was his breath. God's man said, I used to be stinking mud, trashing into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state and has turned into a clear morality. You still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down because God has ordered and he says, some talk, liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Test fly is baby. Test fly is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed the semen drop, thick water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from a thick, watery semen drop, nuphatin. When we look at that semen drop, it looks foggy but pretty clear. We can see specks are in it. So the world has taught us to think that it is silk. Don't even think semen drop is silky. Sinful, but God says, look, you're talking about a stage in your development. That is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up the ladder. So the lowest that I accept was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with. It had nothing but the nature God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is tefla. Baby in Arabic is tefla. So the two words have the same basic letter, T-F-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more than just accept it and come into form. That is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. We take that clay and we make any shade we want out of it. Clay indication is symbolic of reminder. We can make it soft, which means soften the society. And somebody speaks to its politeness. When we can make it hard and somebody speaks to it, and it asks, who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay that can come with a hammer and it leaves an indentation. They did not break it up. He remembered. An indentation is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indentations all over you. So the third one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down. And you have to throw that clay out. What you're going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. Sperm is like water, but cloudy, represents the world's mind. The Quran says, then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now a mind has been formed. First we were dealing with nature and mind and had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do that, and they do that, have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But when mind starts to form in them, then you start having problems because you put the wrong thing in their mind. So their minds are kind of foggy. I give them the kind of foggy mind for the start because I want them to grow into the light so they will appreciate it. But I never block out all the light. I just, a few areas foggy. But when you take over the mind, you, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop. A drop of thick watery fluid or a little life germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he put it lodged in a place of rest. Where is that place of rest? It is in its mother's care. When does the baby rest? He or she rests when it is in the mother's arms. So God gave that semen drop to mama. But we think he is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ of the male to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally. So the womb of the woman, but it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, that child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. He by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this nature, it is going to develop to a high state. Clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a clot of blood. Now, we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from the semen drop. Science tells us that drop becomes a clot of blood. Not a clot of blood as such, but his mind is growing now. It is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no object in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, an absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water clear. But then with his mother, as she stayed there in that place of rest, it begins to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called a life. Human life is not the physical body life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and it has brought the birth of human mind in that child. Before that child received that knowledge of our human society, it didn't have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do not care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles, and it has no teeth. But it shows us those gums. Sometimes it smiles, just can't hardly stop smiling. What he learned from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God had put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind, and loving. He did not make it sinful. But we begin to feed our crazy, warped, distorted, lying, false ideas. And then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little while, but you are going to be better off. I assure you, we'll be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power? Just sit there and listen, and you will have power. Blood, life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead, legally. Pardon me. though the life is in the body. He tells us in Quran, after a cloud of blood, after we have taken an idea from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that the life of the body, the Bible says blood is the life of the body. So that life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. So when your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brain wave test, ECG, and if they don't see any sign of activity in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. So we, the unlike talking about the physical blood God is using, so these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is pointing us, and it is divine because these things speak perfectly to the higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be, show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, that these things speak perfectly the reality that are in your life. John 1:1, in the beginning, there was the Logos, the Word. Word took on flesh means divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? You're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool, you. It is more powerful than any of the logic ever heard of or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. It is all logic. Yours is grafted logic. So the Bible says in the beginning, there was the Word. Word is Logos. Logic is from Word, it says. Then the Word took on flesh. And the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into, took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. I'm going to solve it, try to anyway. So if I take on responsibility, it means that I am going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make grow. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the Word taken on flesh, it means God and in divine truth in his message as the world of real truth, real logic. Feed Islam means the mind then giving thoughts of something else. So he comes into our flesh and begin bringing our mind up to high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. What is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is a clot of blood that has grown into the flesh lump. It is more than just fluid now, still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? We mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop being put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's charge. Now the clot of blood is formed, meaning the idea of human society, the life out of our bodies, our minds is fed into that new child, and it gives him that same blood, same life, not after. God says he didn't make a fetus long, and science tells us, this is exactly true, for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. The fetus lump, what is it referring to now? Fetus lump here means here the mind has been giving thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come in our mind and they just going through the mind, but after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It's not blood anymore, or clot, or a thought. That is just in the body. But it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under thoughts from outside. It comes into me now and begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak, speak in tongues. Bones building is an edifice. Divine truth is edifying. Bone means law, but this is not enough. God says, out of the fetus lump, bones. It is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind, and I've been formed to it a clot of flesh. Not the blood, but you can't just easily wipe the blood up. Blood clots, but if it clots, you can wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thought has been put into the child so long, you can't take them out. That easily you have to tear the flesh up. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he causes in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true too in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms, then bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it an edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a logical argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul says, there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there was another thing to have the power of edification. The bones come in, it means now I have learned how to defend my mind, that I've gotten from that world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition and that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me Teflon, a baby, that didn't not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying don't tell me, that doesn't mean that. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Black Talk Radio. So that does not have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have become bones now. Another meaning of bones in scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things you call law of reasoning. So society then takes on laws. And they call them laws for society, but the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. That is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some says, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought, though it is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws, but flesh is something that has taken form. So my edifying ability, my logic or reasoning holds up my knowledge. Flesh means my knowledge. So my flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge, meaning that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh, logic or rational argument has formed in my knowledge. Thought comes together, then seasons and matures to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. The ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bone for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, thumma kaliku akhira, thumma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this, and we have come into bones where we think we know everything and can uphold my own, my flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. So the flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God said, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He says, he who formed you in the first time is most powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form societies naturally before the world went crazy and have all these weird inhuman ideas? He know how it is supposed to be populated and built up. He know how the edifice or edifying is to produce the edifice. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glass. So the prophet was worked on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. The morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. It has already taken itself the discipline. So if there's glass, it holds that shape, and nothing takes it out unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad described neural glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. His character has no more light, water needed. Constant work on it to keep it right, or constantly holding it in check. His moral had become his like glass, fixed, as God wanted them to be. So the prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayah 35, Allah's light of sky and the earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46. Prophet as a lump, sajirin, munira. Once again, sajirin, munira. Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Light, John 9:5, Jesus lighted the world as long as I am in the world. So we have heard that Jesus is the light of the heavens and the earth. And we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light. But the prophet is a means for aiding that light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that it is meant for. Just as the lamp sets in the neat, and the neat itself helps distribute the light, or to diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflection of what God has given his light if his character is right. His character will help reflect east nor west is universal knowledge. So when it is this tree, where is this tree, pardon me? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? It is to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa and in Egypt? No. It is a tree that is not limited to east nor west. Tree that is universal, universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. So his knowledge is universal. It is not limited to a race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. His knowledge is not the knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignore material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual. So the earth and the skies, where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God, of that free essence of substance, oil as essence, of the tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. The shriners went to Africa, to Egypt, for the light. They went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east. For the light, Mecca is central. It is not in the east and not in the west. It's Asia. So what is Africa? East is Asia, Mecca, Mideast. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in the symbol, in the symbolic way, Mecca represents that. That is not east nor west. But the light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge extends over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. Jesus said, I am the light as long as I'm in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am in the world, meaning that when I die, I am not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light, so it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of light, of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a prophet of God, light is Christ Jesus. No, a parable of God's light is the creation itself. Glass is conscious morals or of prophets. So the glass of the lamp, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass doesn't reveal something, hide something, or reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what's behind it. The prophet conscious of his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out and reflected perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for the diffusion or message of the knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called, so when we speak of the nature of the inner person, the inner being, or the mind, or the personality, the conscience, the morals, moral makeup of the person, we speak of that nature. We call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he had bad character, you see. But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had the best nature. He had been made right, so right that his nature became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscious, his very nature was as a clear glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. So this is the light of God, and a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them, and he himself had become so turned, so finely tuned to the will of God and to God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as though glass, clear glass, is bringing it to the people. And the people, as the niche receives it, and it diffuses it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands, that he is no obstruction, that no part of his being is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance or the light of God comes to him as a messenger. So this is beautiful signs of that light. So the light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a clear glass about the light diffuses nicely, and the heat is contained in the glass. So the light and the heat diffuse evenly because of the glass. So it is necessary for us to have the right consciousness, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. So if we don't have this, then somebody will get burnt. But if there is a glass, they will stick their hand and hit the glass and walk directly to the fire. So the character should be prepared. Pardon me. The character should be separated from the fire, and yet be sitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge, and that knowledge is shining through my character. So the knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. Oil refused knowledge. The oil itself without fire to it appears to the light, to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil, and that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns and cleans burning, a clean burning. A clean burning, not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff, clear burning, or burn clear. No epitomes in it. Salakallahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Mirad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and Ramadan Mubarak.